follow a slide. A slide that I put together so that we can do a little bit of justice to what we started last week. And once again, I want to welcome all the young children into the house. We, by request of your teachers, they asked that can the children and all our children be in the class in the main service today, and also for also our children teachers to also give them a little bit of a break. You know, this is summer and most people are on holidays anyway. So we should once in a while let our teachers to be in the service, because what we are sharing is relevant to everybody. Please, can I ask that we appreciate all our children teachers in the church for the sacrifice, for the pain, for everything they do for all our children. And I will tell you that this message also was inspired and laid on my heart, because there is a strong need for every one of us to know who we are. A very strong need, from even the youngest to the oldest. Every one of us need to know who we are. So we started last week. I promised us it will be in a series. So the series is, Who Am I? My True and Real Identity. So this will be the part two. Who Am I? My True and Real Identity. And we started last week. I gave us some scientific research facts. So I'll just quickly go through the scientific research facts just to set us up to see why we are addressing the things we're addressing. Our young children, especially, we realize that there's a little bit of confusion. If we're not careful, we do not want them also to grow up with that confusion of who they are, not knowing who they really are. So the scientific facts we gave us last week, number one, it is proven right now that there's an identity crisis. More and more people don't really know who they are. Division, strife, envy, jealousy, pride is because people don't really know who they are. So we get into divisions, we get into strife, we get into battles, we fight, we quarrel, we go into pride, because we don't really know who we are. And then research has shown that if people know who they are, if you know who you are, you won't be jealous, envious, or threatened by anyone else. You wouldn't be proud either, but rather humble, and you will be thankful for yourself, and you will rather celebrate other people. And then also, when you celebrate others, this is research, instead of being jealous or envious or threatened, you are actually enhancing your own brain health and physical health. And then we laid a foundation last week that, okay, if there's an identity crisis and people don't really know who they are, how can we start by knowing who we really are? Number one, let's start by knowing who you are not. And these are some things to help us to provoke our thinking, to help us reprogram and get our focus right. Number one, where you were born is not who you are. You see, that's a very strong word, and especially for our children, because some of us, even as adults, we think we are defined by the place where we were born. You are not where you were born. That's not who you are. Number two, where you are presently is not who you are. your current circumstances, situation, challenges is not who you are. You can be, for example, a single mother. That is not who you are. That is not your identity. You can be an A-level student. That is not who you are. You can be the husband of one wife. That is not who you are. Your current circumstances, you know, we see it even in the Bible where people are defined by their circumstances. For example, there's a woman called, we don't know her name, but do you know how she was defined? She was called the woman with the issue of blood. We preach about her, you know, decades, centuries after. Nobody knows her name. All we know is the woman with the issue of blood. And then there's one man in the Bible that we actually know his name, but he's defined by his circumstances. They call him blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. But that is not his identity. And that cannot be your identity or my identity. And what you have or what you don't have is not who you are. You can't own a house. You are not, your identity is not landlord or house owner. You know, and life does not spare us, because when you fill forms, they give you all these identities and all these things to tick. Are you a homeowner? Are you renting? Are you that? And then unconsciously, if we're not careful, we start taking such identity as our identity. It's not what you have or what you don't have. And also, you are not what people around you think you are. Have you noticed that everybody has an opinion about almost everything and anything? You know, in this age of social media, just let anything happen and let something be posted out there, and everybody suddenly becomes an analyst, a commentator, and everybody who just wants to throw in their opinions. You know, I don't know about you, but it's helped me in a way, because I'm doing a personal research and a study. I'm trying to see the way human beings think and how God wants human beings to think, especially with the Bible. So I'm comparing human behavior with how, with the Bible, with what God's expectation is. So I tend to study people a lot. So when anything happens, you know, I read the story, and the next thing I am interested in is what are people's comments. Who's like that? Is anyone like that? I just go and I can spend hours and hours just reading people's comments, and it helps you to see how people think. But excuse me, you will realize everybody has their own opinion. If what people say about you or what people think about you shapes your identity, that is not what God wants for you. That is not who you are. What people around you think you are, that is not who you are. So we looked at a final point. You are actually, so who am I then? You are actually what you think you are. We will expand on that today. But, there's a big but. Or bet. You know, I grew up in primary school, and I remembered, sorry not to offend anyone from Ghana, but I was taught by Ghanaians in those days in Nigeria, growing up in primary school. And we would say bet, B-U-T. But the Ghanaians would say, no, it's not bet, it's bet. So bet, okay. You didn't laugh. Sorry, Grandma Nwosu. This is not bet, it's bet. And then, you know, coming to Liverpool too, I got corrected by Scousers. Bet. You say bet. All right. So you are what you think you are, bet. Somebody say bet. So how do you pronounce B-E-T? Bet. Okay. But you are not Bert or Bet, okay? Can I tell you, you are not your accent. Yeah, that just dropped. Don't be defined by your accent. Everybody has got an accent. Have you noticed? And guess what? Your accent is not better than mine. No way. I'm unique. All right. Bet or but. All right. You may not be who you really think you are. Let that sink, because this should provoke us to start examining our thoughts about ourselves. You know, we did a little exercise last week, walk up to people and just politely ask them, who are you? And we got different answers because everyone thinks they are so and so. Everyone has even an opinion about themselves or are defined by how they think. But the reality is that you are not, you may not actually be who you think you are. So who am I? That's the question. Okay, let's try and answer. Let's start answering today. And next week, by the grace of God, if the Lord permits, we will look at discovering our identity next week. And we trust that God will help us. So the next slide says, who am I? Let's start answering that question today. All right? Number one, you are a creation. Please pause there. You are a creation. You were created. But the question is, who created you? And you know, I like personally to use a little bit of my brain to think. How many of us think that God, okay, even if you don't believe in God, how many of us think we have a brain and it's meant to be a decoration? You know, we shouldn't use it. We shouldn't. I remember the joke somebody shared some years ago. Said they put three religious people, they put them together and decided to do a scientific test on their brain to see what their brains are like. So they got a Pentecostal Christian, they got a Baptist Christian, you know all these denominations, and then they got a Methodist Christian. And they ran their brains through whatever to check their brains. And they found out that one of them, their brains were different. They found out that the Methodist, the brain was worn out because the brain was used. You know, I think I heard something about the story of Methodists, why they are called Methodists. By the way, my wife was born into a Methodist family. So it's too late for me now. I'm not trying to get into trouble. We married in a Methodist church. And there were methods they taught us, you know, to follow on the wedding day, I remember. You know, how to enter, who enters first and all that, okay? So they found out the Methodist brain was worn out because it was worn out as a result of use, constant use. They checked the Baptist and found that, yeah, the Baptist, but fairly used, but not as used as the Methodist. And they checked the Pentecostal Christian. Before they said anything, they said, yeah, shut up, ba, 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 ba. And they found out the brain was brand new because Pentecostals don't use their brain. you thought I was going to bash the Methodist, huh? Can I tell you something? Don't be defined. Pentecostal is not your identity. You see, all these Christian denominations, they just create nothing but division. What unifies us is the Word of God. The Word of God is one and the same. The Word of God is not subject to any private interpretation. God says what He says. God means what He means by what He says. So don't give it any interpretation. Let's look at the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that God created all things. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And if you read it all down and you get to, I think, around verse 26, God rested. God created, before God rested and all that, God said, let us make mankind in our image and likeness. So God created and God formed. So you and I are God's creation. So I was having a debate, I've shared this many years ago, with a young boy. And I was telling him about God, and he said he doesn't believe in God. And I told him why. I was wondering why he didn't believe in God. Apparently, of course, he grew up in a home where he was told there was no God. You know, the environment where we grow up affects us, shapes the way we think. He was told there was no God. I mean, like we saw last week, the demonstration, our 20-year-old son, Noah, was born into a Christian home. He was told, even while he was in the womb, if you heard anything, that there was God. So if you compare our Noah with this young man, then you will see that definitely something has shaped their thinking. So don't blame people when they challenge your beliefs. There is a history behind it. Okay? So don't just write people off. So I was curious with this young man because I said, why? Of course, he grew up in a non-Christian home. By the way, you heard the story. Our Noah was born in a Christian home, brought to church all his life, until one day he started questioning himself if there was God. He had to discover God for himself, even though he was born in a Christian home. So let me tell you, whatever home you were born is not your identity. We will get somewhere in this series. Your identity is a discovery, something you will discover. You discover who you are, even though it is written, but you need to discover it. But let's go on. So I was talking to this young boy. I said, why don't you believe in God? Of course, I grew up in a non-Christian, non-atheist home. So I said, he was asking me, who's God? I said, God is the creator of everything. He said, really? He said, okay, let's test God now. He said, if God is here, because we're in a church building, he said, if God is here, tell God to go and play that keyboard. And if God plays that keyboard, I will believe he's existing. I said, no, young man. Even if we tell God to play that keyboard, God is not going to come down to your level just because he wants to prove a point. God is not that cheap. God is not that cheap. We will see something about identity crisis. It started with creation. Okay, I said, God won't do that. I said, but let me tell you that I asked the same question and I discovered who God was when I was 18 years old. And it's a very simple prayer. I always say it over and over. Just ask God, if you want to really know if God truly exists, you get to a point in your life, and I'm talking because I know young children are in our midst. We need to help them and guide them. And I'm saying this so that even the young children, please, don't say because mommy, daddy brings you to church, that means you're a Christian. No, that means you know God. No, you need to still know God for yourself. So ask God if he's real, if genuinely, truly God exists, that you want God to reveal himself to you. And God will come to you at your own level, at your own level. It's going to be unique. It's going to be different. It doesn't have to be the same encounter, but so that you grow up knowing truly, not just hearing, but you know that there is God, and there is God indeed. So our conversation moved on. Young man, God is the creator. He said, what does that mean? I said, made everything, he created everything. He said, does that include human beings? I said, yes. He said, no, that's not true. He said, because my daddy and my mommy created me. I said, I agree with you. You know, young boy, I don't know how old he was, and I don't know how he quickly needed the understanding of what daddy and mommy does for him to be created. Please don't doubt these children. The kind of knowledge and the kind of exposure they have now, you sit down there and be deceiving yourself, saying your children don't know anything. They will teach you biology. Yeah, you get it. They will teach you reproduction. The things, the access, the information that children know now. Please, some of us who are old enough, did you know anything called iPad when you were young? Can you even switch on a computer? Did you know what a computer was? I remember when I was in the university that I was taught about a computer and I never saw a computer. I was just taught there was something called computer. you know, one man came and was teaching us about computer. But there was no computer. Because computers then were scarce. Very scarce. So, please, let's be careful. Right? So, I said, okay, your daddy and mommy created you because biology and everything. He said, yeah. Okay? I said, who created your daddy and mommy? He said, their daddy and mommy. I said, who created their daddy and mommy? He said, their daddy and the daddy of their mommy of their mommy created the daddy of their mom. I said, oh, so who created the daddy? So we went on and on. I kept asking him, young boy, you know, I had his time that day. He had my time. So I said, so I kept asking their daddy, 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 daddy. I said, okay, okay, okay. So let's go back. So there was one first daddy and mommy. He said, yes. I said, who created them? And then he thought, that's true. I said, that is God. I said, that is God. God created the first daddy and mommy. He is the creator of everything. That's the only way I could explain to him about God. The Bible tells us that the visible things we see, they reveal, I'm paraphrasing, the invisible God that we do not see. Okay. So, let's go on with our slide. Like I promised, we must stick to this slide today. So you are originally God's creation. But, whatever you want to call it. There is a possibility you have been recreated in another image with a wrong identity. Originally, every one of us is God's creation, but over time, as a result of years, as a result of months, weeks, days, the things that has been spoken over us, spoken to us, the things we have heard, the things we have felt, the things we have acted upon, our choices has recreated us and given us another identity. Originally God's creation, but there is a possibility that you have been recreated in another image with a wrong identity. Can I ask someone here, have you ever done something or you find yourself doing something or you heard something about yourself and you make this kind of statement, but that's not me. That's not me. Have people described you before? Have people said things about you before? And they can almost even prove it. But something within you, but that's not me. That's not me. You know, somebody once told me they did something, they got violent. Got violent. They've never fought before. Will never hurt a fly. But one day they were provoked, they got violent and beat somebody up. And the person was telling, but that's not me. That is not me. I know that is not me. Wrong identity. Possibility. There's been a recreation. And that is the crisis we are dealing with today. You are a creation, God's original creation. You are an original. You are not an imitation. You are not a copy of somebody else. So what we want to challenge and address is if you realize you have been recreated in another image with a wrong identity, allow and let God, through His word, recreate you. And that is the purpose of this series. So today, let's address again, who am I? There's a battle for identity. The battle for identity started from the book of Genesis. You will be shocked. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And let's read from, I think, verse 5. Now, God originally created mankind. Originally created mankind. He made the man. And then he took out of the man and formed the woman. So there was a man. There was a woman. Originally. So let's go back to Genesis. Genesis simply means the beginning, the source. So let's see the battle with identity. Now, the man and the woman, God tells them, stay in this garden. I've given you everything. Have dominion. You know, just enjoy. Tend, keep, water, grow this garden. Take authority over everything I've made. And the man began to do that, and the woman. But God told them, look, there's a tree I've planted in this garden. I don't want you to eat it. Because if you eat it, it's going to affect you. What God was simply saying is that if you touch this tree, it's going to start making you less than what I created you to be. It's going to give you a different identity. He says the day you eat it, you will begin to die. I didn't create you to die. That was God's original intent. So don't eat this. It will give you another identity. How many of us, let's come back to ourselves. Today, because you did something, people have started calling you by what you did. They literally changed your identity because of what you did, an action you did. Maybe you took something that belonged to somebody else. Do you know the identity people will give you? Thief. Maybe your name is Sam, not the Sam who drums. Maybe I should use another name then. Sam, give me another name so I don't use your name. Michael. Why Michael? There's another Michael in this house. Please, somebody create something. Okay, let's use Tom. Let's use Tom because Tom, we are sending for Tom today. Isn't that right? Please let's celebrate Tom, Dr. Tom. Today will be his last Sunday service with us. Thank you, sir. We celebrate you. So we can use you because you won't be here next Sunday. So let's say Tom. Thomas, okay, you are Thomas, so we can use Tom. Your name is not Tom. They just shortened Thomas to Tom, isn't it? Okay, so we can use Tom. So let's say Tom takes something that does not belong to him. He steals it. We start calling him thief, isn't it? So we now change his identity. Anytime, oh, that's thieving Tom. T-T. We've changed his identity. He's lost his original identity because of his action. So that's what God was telling the two of them. You eat, you do this, you're violating my law, and it's going to give you another identity. So, now, look at the crisis. When the tempter, when the devil will now come to tempt mankind, he tried to sell the idea to the woman. What was the idea he sold to the woman? Look at it. That same tree, that same fruit that God said, don't eat. Don't eat. That was the same temptation he brought. That was the same thing he tempted them with. How many of us know that that is kind of a principle? I shared a wisdom with some leaders in the church. When we were growing up and you are told, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, how many of us realize that that's actually what you want to do when nobody's there? Come on, footballers. Don't play ball. Daddy goes out, don't play football. Daddy drives off. What do you want to do? You want to be a baller. All my guys are ballers. Some people understand that. My guys are ballers. My guys are ballers. Now, don't look at me like that. Don't give me another identity. I just like a good laugh. You know, a good laugh. There's this video trending that my son showed. Noah showed us. We laughed and laughed and laughed watching it. Oh, my guys are ballers. Now, don't go searching for it on YouTube now. I've told you where it is. Okay, let's move on. The same thing. The devil came. Don't. No. God knows that the day you eat that, you won't die. But what will happen? God knows that the day you eat it, your eyes will open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Do you know the challenge there? It was an identity. It was a challenge of identity. By the way, who was Eve at this point in time? She was God's creation, created like God. She was already like God. But the enemy came to make her doubt her identity. They tell you, no. You need to do this so that you can become that. It's always the crisis. So we want to belong, so we start doing things we shouldn't do because we want another identity. If you want to join this gang, you know, just take this gun and go and shoot one or two people. We'll baptize you into this gang. They want to change your original identity. Identity crisis. That was the challenge. Now let's go. Do you know it continued with Jesus? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. Same temptation. The devil comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. That when he said to him, if you are the Son of God, what should you do? You command the stones to become bread. The real challenge there was a challenge of his identity as a son of God. Excuse me, you are a son of God. You don't need to prove it. If you have to start proving that you are who you are, that is not from God, it's of the devil. Prove to me that you're a man. Tim, you prove that you're a man. Come here, Tim. In the name of Jesus. Come here. Show me that you're a man. Joshua, come here. Come here in Jesus' name. Come here, Joshua. Come here. How old are you?
16.
How old are you?
18.
Now you are men. Prove to me that you are adults. Start punching each other and let me see. Prove to me. That's the only way you can show you're a man. Show me that you're 18. Teach him that he's 16 years old. Teach him that you are 16, but you are taller. Fight. Prove. Can you see the nonsense? Identity. Does he need to prove he's 16 before he's 16? He is 16. I can show his birth certificate, even though he's taller than me. Yeah. And he's getting there. Come on, guys. Go and sit down. You don't need to prove your identity. It is insecurity. When we are not secure in whom we are, that we now have to start proving a point. Don't be cheap. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. So is it turning stones to bread that will make him the Son of God? That's the question we should ask ourselves. So why do we have this identity crisis that we're always trying to prove a point? We're always trying to prove that something. We're always trying to show someone, I will show you who I am. Have you heard that statement before? Do you know who I am? Do you know who you are talking to? I'm going to hit men now, uppercut. We have a men's conference on the 31st, Saturday. Because all the male genders in this house should be there. Invite your friends. 31st Saturday, we want to have a talk amongst the male gender in this church. The theme is the real man. Thomas, where will you be then? Join us on Facebook Live. We're making arrangements. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., 31st of August. The real man. We want to talk man to man. Let's talk to ourselves. Let's discover who we are. Let's be who God has made us. How did I get there? What was I talking about? I'm trying to stick with this now. You don't have to prove a point. Yeah, I want to hit the men. You know, a man marries. And he will be telling his wife, don't you know I'm the head of this house? Don't you know I'm the head of this house? Don't you know I'm the head? Don't you know I'm the head? You got an identity problem, bro. If you are the head, then let your head be correct. And behave. Be the man. Not just talk. All the men won't invite me for football this evening. I will come. Because all my guys are ballers. Continue with Jesus. Battle of identity. And then do you know what happened? It is still a battle. We are still fighting in our minds till today. Battle of identity. Who am I? And people are trying to prove a point. Prove some cheap point. A man will take his son and literally plant words, thoughts, and everything into this child so that this child can prove he's a man. I remember the story. Let me try and mix it so I revise the standard version of the story. So nobody, whoever I'm talking about, won't even know they are the ones I'm talking about. I will give my wife to hazard a guess. The story of a young man. Guy was chubby, was in school. And of course, because he was, you know, chubby, a little bit chubby. You know, when you are chubby in school, God help children. Because children really are not bullies. We are the ones who turn them into bullies. Oh, you don't know. Children are usually born innocent. Even though they are born into sin, they need to grow up and know Christ, know their creator, know who they are. But usually, if a child bullies, go and trace the history of that child. Something was planted in that child's head. So you see children bullying other children in school. Sadly, you are chubby. Chubby chub. You know, they give you a name, they give you an identity. Some of us are still suffering with that identity crisis of names we were called when we were in school. I'll tell a story. I'll close with my story. So, chubby boy, bullied, goes back home. You know, whatever happens, dad decides to work on the boy. So, summer holiday, boy comes back from school. You know, summer holiday is very long. Usually, when people come back, you don't know what happened to them in the summer. You just discover some people have changed. Who knows what I'm talking about? They've just changed. People don't just change. People are recreated. The same way the Word of God can recreate us. Daddy pumps all sorts of things. So the boy comes back to school after summer. Boy, chubby, was now skinny and had one or two packs. And boy, who used to be smiley, who used to be jovial, does not smile anymore. Because over the summer, dad recreated him, planted into him. No one's going to bully you again. Start taking the boy to go and be boxing, lift weights, and don't smile. I remember when I took up the teaching profession, and everyone in the teaching profession was telling me, teachers, we have a saying, you don't smile until it's Christmas. Sapphire. Don't smile until it's Christmas. So I too got there and they changed my identity. I want to smile. Excuse me. I am who I am. Don't change my identity. I am not a teacher. That's not my identity. That's just a profession. My identity should find expression in whatever I do. Don't change me. Don't let my identity change who I am. Don't let my profession change my identity. Don't let what I do or where I was born or where I wasn't born or what I have or what I don't have change my identity. That's not who I am. I am God's creation. It's still a battle. So who am I? Let me tell us, this is the question and we will look at that thoroughly next time. The answer, there's a question. Who am I? See, what you should ask yourself is, who am I becoming? Who am I becoming? Ask yourself, what have I become? You see, the answer to this is where we will build from next week. I said I will share a story and close. I don't want to go past the time. Let me tell us this. Let's go back, because I want us to go with a positive thought. Okay? You are unique. And that is also a scientific fact. It's been proven that everyone is unique. Every one of us, we are unique. You are one of a kind. We all have a brain. Listen, we all have a brain. It is the way that each of us use our brains that is different. Everybody has a brain. But the way we use it is our uniqueness. We'll build more on that. But if the only thing you will hear today is that you are unique, you are an original, you are one of a kind, don't try to be somebody else. Just try to be you. Pray that God will help you to discover who you really are. And we'll build on that next week. But go with this thought today. You are unique. The way you use your brain is what is different. We all use our brains differently. Do you know we can be seeing the same thing, looking at the same thing? We are looking at the same thing, but we are seeing different things. Who knows what I'm talking about? The way you see things, the way you perceive things is a clue of your real identity. But the world we live in is so wicked. They want everybody to think alike. They want everybody to use their brains alike. Science has proven it over and over. Everybody learns differently. Do you know I can say something, the same thing to three people, and the three of them will feel different things? You want to experiment? I take three people and I tell you, you are stupid, you are stupid, you are stupid. Do you know they will feel the same things? Maybe he will feel, he's joking. I can't be stupid. How can he say that on the pulpit? He will say, he called me stupid in front of everybody in the church. I feel offended. And she will just laugh. I said the same thing. They felt different things. That's the uniqueness. We'll build on that next week. I said I'll close with a story. Okay. I'll close with a story. We'll start from who am I next week, about our minds. I grew up, you know, I've shared this story with some people before. I grew up, and I remembered I was in primary 3 or thereabout. And all of a sudden, I found myself, because we had a sitting arrangement. So once you start the term, they will put everybody in a particular place. And that's where you will sit for the whole session. So new day in class, and they give everybody their seats. Of course, you know, in primary school, you may not have the same number of girls in the same class as the same number of boys. No matter how they try to balance it, but the year may not just pan out that you have equal numbers. So it happened that I think in my class we had more girls than boys. So my own seat was in the midst of girls. There was a girl in front of me. There was a girl to my right. There was a girl to my left. There was a girl to my back. When I look at my front, I see a girl is sitting. I look at my right. I have seen. Don't let me sing that song to you. What I saw. Let me tell you what I saw. I found out, I think like the first week we spent, the girls started bullying me. In primary school, who remembers, we are taught boys don't talk to girls. I don't know about this age now, because everything is online now. So boys talk to girls online. They may not talk physically, But in primary school, I don't know your, you know, my generation, we were brought up, boys don't talk to girls. Boys don't play with girls. Primary school. Is it like that in your generation, Debbie? It wasn't like that in your generation. Boys talk to girls in primary school. Sorry? Oh, you went to primary school here. Okay, I'm talking of in Nigeria. All right? Boys, you know, it's an unspoken rule. It's not like it's an official school rule. Yeah, get me right. But boys just want to be boys. Girls want to be girls. Girls play 10-10, 10-10, 10-10. 40, 40, 50. We boys, we go and play footy. Don't play with girls. She has said, boy, hanging around girls, they give you a different identity immediately. They call you a sissy. So I was in a crisis. Now these girls bullied me. And they told me I must not talk in class. I mustn't talk. I mean, if you know me as a child, in fact, they told me what I used to be like. I found out recently that I was actually very wild as a child. You know, I was just, you don't know, want to know the identity they gave me. They gave me a name. My wife just found out recently what the name was. Just recently, after many years of marriage, identity is something you keep discovering. Even in marriage, that's what makes marriage sweet. Tell your wife stories to help her to understand you better. So that when you misbehave, she will know where you are coming from. That's how they killed my creativity in class. I want to, the guy at the back just hit me, bah! And the teacher wouldn't know. And I would look back, as I'm looking back, the one there just, One academic session, Tom. One academic session. It changed my identity. It affected how I related with the opposite sex. And it affected me all through my childhood, adolescent, until I met Jesus. I used to be afraid of girls. It was trauma. And you know, as a child, it's not everything you go home to go and tell your parents, because if you go and tell them, in your mind, you're going back to school. It will actually cause more bullying. But it's not true, children. Whatever they do to you in school, please go home and tell daddy and mommy. Before they change your identity. I got scared. I will be shaking, shivering. Tim, when I'm around girls, I'll be shaking. I'm scared. I didn't know. It was trauma. It was after I got saved. I read the Bible, and the Bible tells me who I am, the righteous, as bold as a lion. That was when I started having the boldness to talk to the opposite sex. Now, do you know that could have shaped my thinking, and I would have grown up hating women? Because I actually did. Before I met Jesus. I actually, secretly, inside me, hated girls because of what they did to me. I didn't know that. That was what affected me until I realized who I was. Let's bow our heads today. I sense that the Holy Spirit is reviving experiences, trauma, and it's coming up so that God can heal. Listen, it's coming up so that there will be healing. Please bow your heads. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Please, can you just play something gently on the keyboard? Something gently on the keyboard. I pray the Holy Spirit will go to the very depth, the root. I sense there's a kind of a spiritual surgery. Please surrender it to the Lord. Ask God to heal you today. No matter how young you are, children, if you want to know God as a young child, you can actually ask God. Daddy and mommy brings you to church. It doesn't mean you know. Just ask God that I want to know you. And if you're a child or you're an adult and some childhood trauma is coming up, maybe you were bullied like me, maybe you were called names and that name is still haunting you today. I know a young adult, full-grown man today, he will not go outside to exercise because when he was young, he was bullied. He was called names. He wouldn't play football today because he grew up, they bullied him on the football pitch. There are so many things struggling with our real identity. Listen, you are not where you were born. You are not your experience. You are not. You are God's creation. You are unique. Lord, reveal to me who I am. But if you are here today and you really want to know God for yourself, this is a good place also. Ask God, I want to know you. I want to know you. Father, I pray right now. I know you brought this word to bring healing, to bring deliverance. You send forth your word. Your word does not return to you void. Lord, you know what you have addressed today. I don't fully know. I pray, let there be healing right now. Let there be deliverance. Let bondages be broken. Let addictions as a result of trauma. Let habits go. Let certain behavioral patterns today, let your word begin the healing process. Reveal to everyone here who they really are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God. Tell yourself, I am a child of God. I am God's creation. God created me. People did not. My mother did not. Some of us, our parents have literally recreated us and programmed us to be what they want us to be. Not necessarily what we should be, what God created us. Father, I pray, let your word do a reprogramming. If you failed an exam or a test, it doesn't make you a failure. That is not your identity. You failed is just an event. It's not who you are. Let there be healing, Lord. In your own way, whatever life has thrown at you is not your identity. Whatever wrong choices you have made and you are probably reaping the consequences, it is not your identity. Don't let it change who God made you. You are who God says you are. You are a child of God. You are unique. You are an original. You are one of a kind. God fearfully and wonderfully made you. There's a purpose for your life. There's your real identity. It's in Christ Jesus. Jehovah Banner. His banner over you is love. Let Jehovah, the Lord, from today, be your identity. Lord, we just thank you. As you began this healing process, Lord, I pray, in the secret place where nobody's there, continue this work, O God, and expand the word into our hearts, and let us be Not what we think we are, but what you think we are, and change our thinking into what you want us to be. Father, thank you. Even before we meet again on Thursday and on Friday, and also on Sunday next week, speak to every one of us. Let everyone have a testimony that something has changed for the better. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen, Nene. Amen.